Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Trooper Jeff Petucci of the Pennsylvania State Police, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Bill Schuster, your congressman, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Just before we went on the air this morning, Trooper Petucci and I were talking about some of the public impressions of law enforcement in general, and specifically the state police. And I love visiting these state police barracks. It's like going to a movie. I mean, they have all this cool stuff in here. And we're in a great, big, beautiful office building here in Hollidaysburg this morning talking to Trooper Petucci. And he is going to help us learn a little bit better about what your local state trooper does in many, many townships in Bedford County. But I also want to find out from him a little bit about how state troopers and state police work in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And then a little bit later, we're going to talk a bit about what you should be doing in a sensible way this holiday time around Christmas and New Year's, when a lot of people lose their senses, and we're going to try to find out how we can prevent that. So, Trooper Petucci, I understand that you are a master trooper, which sounds pretty impressive. That's good. You've been a state police officer longer than 20 years, I understand?
Yes, I'm in my 24th year in law enforcement. Boy. Here with the state police.
And you always were with the state police?
That's correct.
Started out as a kid. Because you're not very old now. How does this work? This is good.
Well, I went through the process and I started my career back in the early 90s.
Just out of curiosity for any young people that may be listening, is there a state police academy someplace where they learned how to do this?
Yeah, the state police academy is in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And that's where our cadets, you know, learn and train to be a trooper.
If I were to go to the Hershey Cadet School, is that Hershey, what is it called?
The State Police Academy.
State Police Academy.
Yes.
What kind of a qualification would I have to have? Do I need a college degree or something like that?
Well, how it works is there's a process, and first there's an application process where you have to be at least 20 years old, be a U.S. citizen, and then once you're in the process to be appointed as a, you have to go through the process, but you need 60 college credits or an associate's degree after high school, along with a GED or high school diploma.
Right.
Now, we do have some waivers, and those waivers being if you're in law enforcement full-time for 4 years with powers of arrest, we waive the 60 credits. Those in the military with 4 years active military with an honorable discharge, we waive those 60 college credits.
So the vets get a break on this. This is good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Now, does a vet have to be a shore patrol or a cop in the Army?
No. Nope. Just as they get out from the military and they have that active 4 years, they're
so there's a veteran's qualified preference here.
There is, yes.
As well as a former police officer. So if just hypothetically, if I were a police officer with arrest powers, as you said, from a Pennsylvania township, would I be part of that if I've been there for a long enough time?
Yes, full-time, 4 years, then we would waive all of the 60 credits.
In my days as a township supervisor, I remember that was called Act 120.
Yes.
Where the police officers had to pass that particular qualification to become at least a sworn police officer.
That is correct. I think it's still the same today.
Is it?
Act 120, yes.
Been a long time since I did that, but Actually, I was the police commissioner. It didn't mean anything. They gave you a badge. But I felt very important. I was like Frank Rizzo or somebody. I really thought that was pretty good stuff. Our guest is Master Trooper Jeff Petucci, who is the Community Affairs Director for this outfit, right?
Community Service Officer, yes.
And your job is to go and speak to people like me and high school kids and things like that. Is that pretty much it, or is there more to it?
Pretty much, yeah. I go out into the community and go into the schools, talk to kids and students and community groups about crime prevention and traffic safety, along with some other things that I do as well.
Would you mind kind of taking us through a little bit of why we even have state police? In some states, they have sheriffs who act like police officers. Our sheriffs here guard courthouses and things. So how was the state police created out of that? Was it just something they decided one day?
Well, this was back in 1905, and Governor Pennypacker back then signed the legislation that enacted the Pennsylvania State Police. So from then, we basically police powers in the state of Pennsylvania, and we cover those municipalities that do not have a police department. So we are the police department for those particular municipalities.
So we don't have county police in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, do we?
That's correct. We have township police officers, city police officers, borough police officers, and then we have the...
So the troops, each troop covers a geographic area, as I understand. So how big is yours here?
That is correct. We cover 7 counties here in our Troop G area.
So of the 7 counties, of course, includes Bedford County, where we are.
Yes, Bedford County is one of the counties in Troop G.
So in Bedford County, we have Troop G state police officers stationed, if you will, or I guess housed in some way, at that barracks I see up on 220 in Bedford.
Yes.
So how many... I guess I'm asking, how much of Bedford County do you cover?
Well, we cover out of that facility. Well, we cover all parts of Bedford County that do not have a municipal police department.
So the boroughs like Saxton or Hindman or Bedford or Everett have their own police force.
Correct.
And you guys got everything else.
Correct.
Yeah, I understand. Yes. Okay. So are there? I'm not aware of any township police forces in Bedford. Maybe there isn't yet.
Okay. I don't believe so.
Our guest is Trooper Jeff Petucci. We are here in Hollidaysburg speaking to him and hoping to learn something about the state police, not only from my vantage point, but maybe from yours as well. Bedford County Speaks today is brought to you in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce. And these folks are great. They're right in downtown Bedford, and they proudly support and celebrate the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And also sponsored by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, which is right on 220, not far from the Bedford County State Police Barracks. In fact, I got to tell you something, that your barracks up there is called the Art Hershey Barracks, and I believe that was from a fallen officer, right?
That is correct, yes.
And I lived in southeastern Pennsylvania for most of my life, and down in, I guess would be Troop K, I'm not sure, the one that covers Lancaster and southern Chester County, had a state representative, and his name was Art Hershey.
Okay.
So when I got here, I thought, boy, this is cool. They named a state police guy after a place after Art Hershey, the state rep, and it turned out it wasn't him at all. It was this fallen officer. So, and I understand there is still a Hershey involved with the state police as a trooper.
That is correct, yeah. Yes.
So I guess one of your commanders over there is named Hershey. Or
yes,
yeah.
That is
so
correct.
That's kind of neat that you have that. Does that happen much where you have a father-son situation in state police?
It does sometimes, yeah. Yes. It happens.
Okay, our guest is Trooper Jeff Petucci. I kind of want to just go through a little bit about what you folks do here. I know you do a lot, but I think a lot of people are not totally clear on this. Obviously, they see your vehicles around, big state police cars, always look nice and clean and everything. And you have several things inside this large building we're in, a crash reconstruction, a fire marshal's office, a computer crimes, forensics. These things are done in this building and serve all of the locations inside of your Troop G. Is that how that works?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So tell me about what a crash reconstruction department does.
Well, basically our crash reconstruction unit will investigate serious crashes or those crashes that involve fatalities. and they will basically go out and reconstruct or map out the scene as far as what happened from start and then to finish in that crash. So it's very technical analysis as far as the crash investigation.
So if somebody has an accident and no one saw it happen, your guys can go in there and look at the evidence that came from the crash and learn some things.
Right, yeah, and that's what they do. They look at the evidence, the crash, the markings on the roadway, and then they can formulate basically what happened.
So when the witnesses say the car was coming at him at 70 miles an hour and they find out it was 25, as a rule of the of your investigation, that's what it's for, is to really get the facts correct.
Right. Yeah. Basically looking at the evidence and whatever the evidence at the scene tells us, that's what we go.
I know standing on a road watching a car come toward you, it always looks faster than it is. You know,
so. Sometimes if you're close to the road, they look like they're going pretty fast.
Yeah. So, okay, so then I understand you have a fire marshal. This is fascinating. I thought fire departments did this, but you explained that the fire marshal in this case is a state trooper who specializes in criminal activity with respect to fires. Is that correct?
Correct. That's right. They will go to the fire scene and attempt to determine how the fire started and, you know, going into an investigation if need be, if it's something that was started intentionally, was it something that was accidental? But that's what they go in and do and investigate exactly what happened.
So the investigation would learn either it was or was not criminal activity or...
Correct.
They just find out what really happened.
Or if it was
I'm always amazed these guys can find out where fires start. That to me is... After the thing's burned to the ground, they can say, yeah, it started right here.
Right.
On the porch or something.
They have special training that they go through to, you know, enable them to
They just had a bad one in Chester County. The Barclay Friends Home burned with a bunch of old people in it. And I know every three-letter agency in the government's down there right now, including the ATF, to investigate this fire because there were four fatalities.
Okay.
So anytime you have that kind of condition, you guys all come in. I
right, correct.
Probably your guys as well if it happened around here.
Yes, if it would have happened around here in our area, we'd be called out.
So all of the major state police facilities have this function of the fire marshal, like the big ones in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
All the troops, yes. Yeah, all troops
have,
all the troops have a fire marshal.
Here's one I think is particularly interesting, computer crime. Young people in particular would be very interested in this. So if I were a young person wanting to be a state police officer, is there a future for me in helping you dig out the bad guys from the computers?
Well, we do have criminal investigators. They're in the computer crimes, that's what they do. They investigate computer-related crime.
Is this an increasing thing? I mean, this is going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, people are using computers for all this stuff.
Yeah, everybody uses a computer nowadays. So, right. Unfortunately, we have those out there using it and in, obviously a bad way and using it to commit crimes.
I am curious about enforcement. If someone hacked my computer here in Bedford County, and I found that they stole money from my bank account or something, is that something that they bring you guys in, or is there some other law enforcement entity that would do that?
Well, it would be considered a theft. If someone, you know, hacked into your computer and they stole money from you, that would be a theft. It would be investigated. So, yes, that was
So if I lived in Bedford Township, which is one of your townships, and this happened to me,
right,
we'd call you.
Correct.
And you guys could maybe get some of these guys on it.
Absolutely.
Say,
that's
Black Joe or something. We know he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's over in Huntington somewhere or someplace breaking into people's computers. And the other thing, I guess he could also be in a foreign country.
That's true. Yes.
So your guys would know that as well.
That happens also.
Yeah. Well, Trooper Petucci is a wealth of information. When we come back, we're going to talk about a program he's working on right now for just the next few weeks with respect to the holidays. What will happen to you if you take a couple of drinks beyond the limit and head for the road? This would not be a good outcome for you, and he's going to tell you about that when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Don Schwartz of the Bedford County Planning Commission, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Today, you have found me at the Troop G headquarters in Hollidaysburg, and they have this fantastic-looking building, a great, big, beautiful office building. I don't mean to be pejorative about this, but most of the state police barracks I visited don't look like this. You know, they're like an old Wawa's and things, old sheets or something. So this is really nice. You guys are living high on the hog here. It's very, very nice. I congratulate you on getting this. I just want to remind everybody that our new sponsor, Homewood at Springhouse Estates, has joined us. And at Homewood, they have this terrific executive director, Mary Grattan. Now, you've got to go see Mary. She has been very gracious to us here at the program. So give her a call because she is going to set you up with Homewood at Springhouse Estates. Her number is 623-0349. That's 623-0349. And if you don't know about this place, it is the best. You can go there. You can live there. If you want to live in an apartment or one of their facilities outside the apartments, they call them cottages. These are great places. And at this time of the year, they have a feature which I find particularly appealing. You can live in your cottage or your apartment at Springhouse Estates and walk into Mary's office and say, Mary, we're taking off for Florida. We're going to load the RV up and we're on our way to somewhere in Florida. Could you keep an eye on the place? And she puts her team of professionals busy, and they take care of your place. They look at it every day, make sure it's okay. You don't have to worry about a thing while you're gone. And I mean, you could be gone for a week, 2 months, 6 months. Mary doesn't care. So that's one of the things that's really great about Homewood at Springhouse Estate. So give her a call at 623-0349. Our guest this morning is Trooper Jeff Battucci. And he is in charge of all of the public affairs here at Troop G. You have this program at this time of year. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. It has something to do with DUI.
That's right.
And you have a little poem or something you've done with this thing. How's that work?
Well, basically, it's called Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over. And it's a National Highway Traffic Safety Administration initiative. And we partner with participate with over 10,000 police departments in the United States with this program.
So I'm going to see this on the Indiana Turnpike, too, not just in Pennsylvania.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
So it sounds like there's not a lot of room for wiggle here.
No.
If I'm beyond the limit, I'm getting arrested.
There's a zero tolerance with our department when it comes to impaired driving. So if someone's impaired, they're found to be impaired, and they're driving a vehicle, they will be arrested.
I noticed you guys use a new word, at least new to me, called impaired. And I'm assuming that this means it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be whatever that will keep your brain off your driving.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you for statistics, but how much of this experience today by your troopers is drugs?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but we have seen an increased number of impaired driving when it comes to drug use, both illegal drugs and also prescription medication. So, I know a number that comes to the top of my head, probably about 20% of our driving under the influence arrests are impaired drivers due to drugs.
Because we all know, we've seen on television, about the test you give people for being drunk.
Correct.
But if they're on some sort of drug, how do they test for that?
Well, number one, the trooper that has that person pulled over, if they suspect that they are impaired due to drugs, mm-hmm. we have drug recognition experts that can come out to the scene, or if we transport that person back to the barracks, we can have a drug recognition expert evaluate that person to determine whether or not they're under the influence of a drug.
And again, I don't know anything about law enforcement, but maybe, is there a reasonable expectation if someone is taking drugs? Are you permitted to search their car for this kind of contraband?
Well, when it gets into search and seizure, you know, there are certain processes that we have to go through as far as searching a person, searching a car, searching a house. Mm-hmm. So in that particular case, depending on the circumstances, we just don't necessarily go and search the car without, you know, a search warrant or something.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I've driven by what clearly is police activity by the state police, and I see several troopers around a car with the trunk open, all the doors are open, so it looked like something's on the way. Underway there, where they're searching the vehicle.
Right.
So, do you have to wait for a search warrant before you?
Well, it depends. If there is probable cause, would enter into the equation, and then possible search warrant for the vehicle or whatever we are going to search may come into play as well.
So, if it escalates from being a drug user to a drug dealer, we're talking about a whole nother thing.
Yes.
Now, right?
Yes.
So if you pull someone over who's impaired and you find out he is not only using this stuff but has a little business going out of the back of his car,
right?
Then that's a whole nother level of charges.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Well, I wanted to clarify that because we spoke to our district attorney Bill Higgins about this subject several months ago, and he said that drugs is the number one problem among the youth in Bedford County today. I mean, nothing's even close, and I'm not telling you anything new. You probably have to see this all the time in Blair County and in Bedford County. So impaired means anybody that you would see weaving along the road or doing something goofy like that.
Correct, yes.
And a state police officer would pull them over, take a look at them.
Yes.
And so are your troopers today getting more trained about this sort of thing? They receive an additional training?
Yes. We train all the time throughout the year, but our drug recognition experts are specially trained when dealing with someone that's impaired using drugs. Right. So they're able to evaluate that person and determine.
So now we'll get back to the alcohol.
Okay.
We're having a great time. It's New Year's Eve. We had way too good a time to get in the car. And we've been hearing about designated drivers for decades. What constitutes a drunk driver today?
Basically, it's anybody that's impaired, and the legal limit in Pennsylvania is 0.08, which does not take a lot of alcohol to get to that point.
So if I'm at 0.07, I get off? Is that how it works?
Not necessarily. It depends on what they were pulled over for, if it was an unsafe act. There's a section in the DUI statute that says unsafe driving as far as impairment. So just because you're under the legal limit of 0.08 doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get arrested for DUI. But with that being said, the ultimate decision usually lies with the district attorney in the county that you're working in. So if it's a 0.07 in this case, I would take it to the district attorney, and then they would proceed from there, whether or not.
But there's repercussions, for example, if this individual has an accident and he's at 0.07 or 8 or something.
Sure.
It's a different way to look at that individual because he was impaired to some degree.
He was.
And may or may not have caused the accident.
Correct. And not only criminally, but probably civilly as well, when we're talking about your responsibility.
Insurances, right.
Yes.
And that's what it's about, is it's about personal responsibility. People have to understand that they do have responsibility. They get into a vehicle that weighs several tons and driving it down the road at a certain speed, it can become a weapon.
Very unsafe.
Yeah. So, and this is what you guys have been pitching for years. I remember when I took my driver's test a very, very long time ago, administered by a state police officer, I think in Norristown or someplace, and I remember him saying, don't ever pick a bottle up and get in this car. This is 50 years ago, and I've never forgotten that. You know, so that was how they expressed it. They're a little tougher then. They weren't so sweet as you guys are now.
Okay.
And we know that Master Trooper Jeff Petucci is a nice guy, even probably when he's arresting somebody. Our discussion today is with the Pennsylvania State Police. We're here at Troop G in Hollidaysburg. So this program, if you're not sober, pulled over, or however it goes, what happens if I am pulled over and I'm way above this? I'm at a one or something. I'm really knocked out of my mind here. Am I arrested? Am I taken away in your police car?
Well, there's a process and a procedure. But yes, you're at that point you're taken into custody if we determine that the person's impaired, and then. What happens, they would then go for either a breath test or a blood test to determine how much alcohol is in that person's system. And then if they're a Pennsylvania resident, they can be released to a responsible person. Mm-hmm. If they're out of state, generally speaking, they're going to be arraigned before the on-call or whoever is the district justice is at the time. And then there'll be a court date later on.
Well, this decision of the driver to do this has consequences.
Yes.
DUI can injure your job reputation. It can prevent you from entering school in some cases, right?
Yes.
It's got other repercussions.
Yes.
So you have a record, do you not?
Yes.
Of this?
Yes.
This record doesn't go away.
Generally speaking, no.
And has it been your experience, has been a trooper all these years, that if someone's picked up once, they're going to get picked up again?
Not necessarily. We do have repeat offenders. Mm-hmm. Those repeat offenders sometimes offend 2, 3, or 4 times. So I don't know the statistics on, that person that gets arrested that first mm-hmm. time, if they're going to get arrested again a second time for DUI or driving impaired. But it does happen.
And you get points on your license?
Well, there's a license suspension that goes along with it when you're convicted of DUI.
So you lose your license. It probably has impact on your car insurance?
Yes.
So yes. I guess the point I'm making is this isn't just a traffic stop for DUI.
No.
This thing gets very, very big in this person's experience very quickly.
Correct. Yes, because it impacts that person's life, job wise, money wise, insurance wise. So it's very expensive, and again, not to mention it's going to be on your record.
It could even prevent you from being a state police officer if you wanted to be.
Potentially,
if it was
yes.
Bad enough,
potentially,
yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Repeat offender, whatever.
Yeah, repeat. Yes.
Because you're not going to want to hire a drunk.
Correct.
Somebody has an alcohol problem. All right. Well, I didn't. Want to drive it into the wall, but I also wanted to have everyone understand this has enormous repercussions in a person's life.
Right.
If they have this happen.
Yes, it does.
So our suggestion to you is avoid it completely.
Avoid it completely and basically have a plan in place. And we understand that people are going to go out and celebrate during the holiday season. So all we ask, it's very simple, is to have a plan and to make sure that you have a safe way home or safe way to your destination.
Well, you've been terrific. We're out of time, and I just want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Trooper Petucci is a little busy at this time of year, so we appreciate him very much inviting me into his magnificent hall of enforcement here. This is really something. So, again, thank you very, very much. It's great to speak to you. I want to thank Trooper Jeff Petucci of the Pennsylvania State Police here in Troop G. And someday we're going to find out what all these letters mean. I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Sounds good.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend and be safe tomorrow, New Year's Eve. Have a great day. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.